Frequency Matters, the R for Microwave Update series. I'm Pat Hindle. I'm here with my co-host, Gary LaRude. This episode, we're going to take a look at our June semiconductor issue. The cover story is very interesting. Looks at a future technology for RF amplifiers. So Carbonix presents their latest results for carbon nanotube FETs that are done with RF amplifiers. And they're achieving near RF CMOS performance with good linearity. So it shows a lot of promise for the future, and they hope to commercialize it in the next 2 to 5 years.
Yeah, I learned a lot from that article.
How about you for technical features?
So we have 4 other articles from IMEC, a 140 gigahertz FMCW transceiver for radar, which is a new and emerging area, can be used for vital sign monitoring or gesture recognition. We have one of our ERB articles, editorial review board, which is a broadband power amplifier. It's done using a resistive, reactive, continuous class F mode, which
say
I
that
love.
Three times
I
fast.
Love saying that, if I can get it. And it's a pretty impressive result. They cover 500 megahertz to 2.3 gigahertz, 10 watts output power, better than 60% efficiency, and they're using a Wolfspeed GaN device. Then we have from Sivers IMA an interesting article on using the upper part of the 60 gigahertz unlicensed band. So this would be 64 to 71 gigahertz for fixed wireless access. And actually, the link performance is not appreciably different than 28 gigahertz.
Wow.
So it provides some additional spectrum that people can use. And then the last article is an interesting concept from IQ Analog on what they're calling an all-digital antenna for millimeter wave systems.
So for product features, we had 3 of them. We had arbitrary waveform generators from Spectrum Instrumentation that have up to 125 million samples per second speed.
Wow.
We also had OML showing how to do a low-cost millimeter wave analyzer. So you can take your current 6 gigahertz analyzer that you've invested money in, add their block converters and some other software, and you're ready to go with a millimeter wave analyzer. So very interesting approach. And finally, we had LPKF with their new software technology. And so with their prototyping system, you can actually design and produce an RF PCB right from your desktop. So
yeah,
it's amazing how far we've come in that area.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Then we have like one tech brief.
So yeah, one tech brief by Kritar. It's a very broadband directional coupler from 10 gigahertz to 110 gigahertz.
Wow,
so
that's impressive.
100 gigahertz of bandwidth, and it's got coaxial interfaces, so it's easy to use in a system.
So turning to the news, big merger proposal. Raytheon and United Technologies are proposing a merger of equals, and the combined revenue would be about $74 billion, putting it in second place of all the companies in the U.S. next to Boeing. So be interesting to see if this, you know, flies with the regulators.
Really, yeah.
I think they have good complementary products, but you never know from a regulation standpoint.
True.
How about you for news?
So a couple things. The FCC announced the results of the 24 and 28 gigahertz auctions. No surprise, Verizon got most of the 28 gigahertz licenses because they've got a pretty strong incumbent position there. At 24 gigahertz, it kind of split between T-Mobile and AT&T. And then Starry, the wireless internet service provider, picked up some licenses there to complement their 37 gigahertz spectrum holdings. Then the second item I wanted to mention, no real resolution on the Huawei export ban. We are starting to hear more about the impact of that. I think previously we talked that Qorvo said that would impact them about $50 million this quarter. Since then, Skyworks has said they'll be impacted by about $60 million. And then just this week, Cree announced that they could be impacted by $15 million this quarter. So the three of them, that's $125 million. And if you annualize that, that's $500 million a year. So pretty significant.
Yeah, big impact on our industry. I hope it's resolved soon.
Right, exactly.
So we just returned from IMS in our hometown here in Boston.
Right.
It was a great event, very good attendance. I think everybody was pretty happy with the results. I really liked the way they had the 5G pavilion and startup pavilion along with microapps in the front. That really made a good way to congregate and see these different companies that you wouldn't normally come across.
Right, you'd see it just as you were coming down the escalator, so that was nice.
Yeah, we just finished our complete wrap-up online. Over 100 companies that we covered, that's a record for us, so check that out when you have time. So I did want to highlight some of the products I saw that I thought were very noteworthy. Mari Microwave was the most impressive to me. They had 5 or 6 major product introductions, and a couple of them that I wanted to highlight was their Insight software. It allows you to use any vendor's VNA and use their software for calibration, measurement, and insight. into the data, and you can actually determine the uncertainty and the contribution of uncertainty to each different parameter.
Oh, wow.
So it's a very amazing thing. And then they also were doing active lobe pull at terahertz frequencies. So they teamed up with Virginia Diodes to get the extensions, and then a company called Vertigo that they're working with out of a university. Mm. And you can do active lobe pull at any frequency that you have these extenders with. So it's amazing results.
Wow.
And then keeping with the test and measurement companies, Keysight had a couple noteworthy introductions. They have combined all their software under PathWave Design 2020.
Right.
So they've acquired a lot of brands over the years, have a lot of simulation and modeling. I think it's really good that they put these under one umbrella, so it gives you a nice coherent umbrella to work under.
Right.
They also had their Keysight Care, which gives you calibration, repair, and maintenance services, and now they have different levels. So they really are broad now. They can take care of everything from beginning to end in test and measurement. I was also impressed with Rohde & Schwarz. Their new VNA has 170 dB of dynamic range.
That's incredible.
And I love its GUI. It has this touchscreen GUI that you can, you know, just tell it what kind of measurement you want to make, and it will step you through the process.
Huh.
So very device-centric. And Ritsu was showing a 220 gigahertz VNA, and that has continuous sweep from 70 to 220 gigahertz, and they were doing it on wafer measurements. So that was pretty incredible. And then NI introduced their new 44 gigahertz vector signal transceiver.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
It has up to 1 gigahertz of bandwidth, so that's a very capable product. And then we learned that Copper Mountain will actually be making a Pixie VNA for NI, so that extends their product portfolio and really gives them a good way to approach the market.
Cool.
So turning to the semiconductor companies, Analog Devices introduced a 16-channel beamformer chip, and that can be paired with their millimeter wave 5G up and down converter for a complete platform. So that was very interesting development. We also had Qorvo and Integra showing over 40% efficiency in the X-band. So Qorvo had a 45% efficient 4-watt X-band GaN amplifier. And they have higher values available too.
Right.
And Integra had a 43% efficient 90-watt power transistor that they were marketing. So that's very interesting. And then the last one, I saw DC to 70 gigahertz broadband distributed amplifiers from both Custom Mimic and MACOM. Very flat response over this very broad band. We've been working with Custom Mimic a lot and just very impressed with their design and attention to detail. It's been very interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
How about you for products?
I want to pick up on what you said about the Analog Devices beamformer, because that is becoming a very crowded field. It's amazing how many companies have introduced products there, and I want to refer to my notes so I don't forget anybody. But in addition to Analog Devices, of course, Anokiwave has had this space pretty much to themselves for several years now. They're like on the third generation of their chips. But now we have IDT coming in, NXP coming in, PSemi working with Murata is coming in for a complete solution, including the antenna. Sivers IMA has a silicon solution. And of course, you have Qorvo pursuing a gallium nitride approach. And then antenna companies like GapWaves are teaming with NXP and Qorvo to try to help provide a complete solution. So that's becoming a very crowded space, obviously a very attractive market. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. Then I started to see actually some real products for massive MIMO in the below 5 gigahertz space. And it's interesting because both Amplion and NXP clearly believe LDMOS is the right technology. And so they have some pretty impressive LDMOS power amplifiers that are above 4 gigahertz with good efficiency. And of course, Qorvo and Wolfspeed say, no, GaN is the right technology. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. The other thing that struck me reminds me a little bit of the mid-80s with all the commercialization of gallium arsenide and the MMIC startups that started. We're starting to see a number of new MMIC companies that are trying to move in and take advantage of the industry consolidation. So we have Altum RF, Gorilla RF, Iconic RF, you get a trend here. And then a company, Mixcom, that's actually a fairly new company coming out of Columbia University. And then out of Europe, not terribly new, but Aralis, that are doing some millimeter wave mimics and also higher level assemblies. So it'll be interesting to see how these young new startups fare in the industry. And as you said, it was a very good show. Seems like on both the commercial and the defense side of the market, things are strong and are good. So I think that's probably a wrap. We want to thank you for watching and encourage you, as Pat said, to check out our IMS show summary. If you were not at IMS, even if you were there, I'm sure you didn't get around and see everybody that you wanted to talk to. And we want to thank our sponsor for this episode, MACOM. They're your partner from RF to light. Until next time.